Russia and China are doing this. Just watch now what happens. The copycats are going to come out of everywhere using Bitcoin, you know, as the trade currency.
If Ethereum is the mother asshole of all shitcoins, as Safety said, then Brian Armstrong is the bloody proctologist, making sure that keeps flowing. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
So, like, the fact that he has been around long enough to have an opinion on such a controversial Bitcoin topic and then to be selling Fartcoin and all of the nonsense he's selling, it's like...
Sorry, I got a bit carried away there. Yeah. It's Friday.
We should have, you know, one of those, you know.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Rick and Tony with me. Lots of news to get to. Gentlemen, let's jump right in here. So we've got, first, VanEck confirms that China and Russia are settling energy trades in Bitcoin. De-dollarization is here. The U.S. should immediately end sanctions on Russia or it's game over for the U.S. dollar. Big news, big news. And we've talked a little bit about, you know, digital assets being used, I think, in trade with Russia. It seems that this is becoming a bit more mainstream and they really are looking for ways to de-dollarize, which I'll get, you know, I'll talk here in a bit why that's such a challenge. But Rick, why don't you kick us off? What's your reaction? What are your thoughts? And then Tony, I know you've talked about this before publicly on stage. So I can't wait to hear what you think, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there have been rumors of this for a long time. Like, over the years, there's been this bubbling rumor that Russia and China and BRICS nations might start trading with each other in Bitcoin. And you've heard rumors circulating even back as far like 4 years ago. People were kind of suggesting that this might be going on, but there wasn't a lot of evidence. I don't suppose VanEck have really provided much evidence in their statement, but the fact that sort of VanEck are saying it and they're saying it to their investors suggests that actually, there might be some real evidence that it is happening now. I really don't find it surprising at all. It wasn't that long ago that the US imposed sanctions on Russia, right? And that's obviously not great news for Russia and might push them towards Bitcoin, but it also signals to the rest of the world, hey, listen, if you don't do what the US says or you upset them or, you know, they want something from you, then they can just sanction you as well and almost use the currency like a weapon. And I think, you know, just look at what's going on around the world now. The US having the ability to print the world's reserve currency is an extreme privilege, right? Which has really benefited the US for a long, long time. But now if you're other nations, you've got to be looking at this thing saying, well, hang on, now they're imposing huge tariffs on us to trade with them. They export their inflation, by printing the dollar. And actually, the Federal Reserve has got so carried away with printing the dollar. They've in the UK would say they've taken the piss, right? And they've gone way too far. They've printed way too much. And countries have got to be looking at this like, hang on, there's got to be alternatives. Why can't I trade with my neighbor without it having absolutely nothing to do with the US? Because just providing a currency to trade in is not adding a lot of value to the transaction that's happening. So in the same way, Michael, that, you know, I might want to transact with you in Bitcoin and I don't want my bank getting in the way. There's a lot of countries around the world that would love to trade without the US sort of sticking their fingers in the pie and trying to get involved, right? So it really doesn't surprise me. And I think, man, predicting the future right now is a thankless task. Who knows? There's tariffs. There's an insane amount of debt. Countries are, well, tariffing each other back and forth. I don't know how this all plays out. But I've got to say, I'm extremely bearish on the dollar. I think people are losing confidence in it probably faster than ever. I mean, look at the gold chart, for example. Now, you know, we all look at Bitcoin as the way to run away from all this crazy chaos. But look at the gold chart. Like, even the boomers and you know, maybe older generations that aren't so familiar with Bitcoin, they've seen what's going on in this game as well. And they're all charging towards hard assets. So I think it's going to continue. And if the US doesn't, I think the US needs to think about this a bit more carefully because you could be left out in the dark if you're not careful here.
Yeah. Tony, I think you called this about a year ago at BTC Prague on stage publicly. Absolutely,
man. Absolutely. We have officially entered the world of FU money. You know, like, I mean, who would have thought that a virus released into the world in 2008 would eventually, you know, trickle into something like this? In fact, the funny part is that Lizard Lagarde called it. She said, you know, if there's an exit, they will use it. Well, you know, she was referring to citizens, right? But, you know, if that exit exists, it's for everybody, including nation states. So when the U.S. weaponized the dollar, that's it. You know, that started the cascade of de-dollarization, because now, fuck, if nation states can be locked out of an entire monetary system, well, then, you know, you and I are completely out of luck, right? So, of course, it's going to, you know, wake up people to that fact. No one wants to be bullied, right? And so they're going to look for an alternative. And the fact that Bitcoin exists, that is the game changer. Like, you can't, like, remove that from the world. That's it. The genie's out now. Previously, you know, you didn't have to worry about this because there was no escape. Like, there was no other option. If you didn't do what, you know, the big boys did, they'd bomb you to death. But now there is an option. It's not like you're stuck. And once that option is in the real world, people are going to use it eventually once they understand what it is. So I called it in Prague last year. I said, eventually, they're all going to standardize on Bitcoin because none of these guys trust each other. So it only makes sense that they use something they know no one else has an edge, an advantage over them with, right? And the only thing in this universe that can give you that is Bitcoin. Gold is surging a little bit because there's still too many people that don't understand Bitcoin. But the Bitcoin virus is growing. And at some point, it's just going to flip like this. And you're going to see gold disappear in terms of, you know, its impact in the world. And everything is going to funnel right into something that gives them a monumental advantage. So Russia and China are doing this. Just watch now what happens. The copycats are going to come out of everywhere using Bitcoin, you know, as the trade currency.
Yeah. Tony, did you call her Lizard Lagarde?
Yeah. It's not me who, I didn't coin her that, but, you know, she's been coined that, you know, so other people have called her that on Twitter many, many times.
I haven't heard that. It's a generous name for someone who acknowledges that people would want to escape their fiat enslavement if there was an exit. So
here's
the tricky thing is there is way more dollar denominated debt in the world than there are dollars, like physical dollars that you can use to pay off that debt. And so I think de-dollarization is going to be a very challenging thing. But to the extent that these countries have the ability to trade in Bitcoin, they're buying gold very clearly. They're buying, we're seeing, a lot less debt issuance to foreigners because they're beginning to wake up. I think it's going to be interesting to see eventually some large nation state needs to make it evident that Bitcoin is their preferred sound money, right? For like others to get on board. I think we could see a long period, and by long, I mean, you know, a few years at least, where gold does perform really well because it's what people understand. But I think the minute that somebody enters it, you know, Russia, China, the United States, someone really big, makes it very evident that Bitcoin is their preferred store of value. I think that's going to be a total game changer.
Can that happen quickly, Michael? Like, yeah. Just to build on Tony's point, like more people are catching on. So you might know, I'll tell you something about the UK sort of energy industry versus say the French energy industry. So the French have done a much better job than the British in terms of securing their energy security because they allowed nuclear power, right? Built a bunch of nuclear power stations. To the point that even though the UK is an island surrounded by oil, we don't use it, right? We rely on little pinwheels and windmills and all this carry on. And we also shut all our coal stations because we're completely insane. So we actually will buy a lot of our Europe from places like Russia and places like France, right? The French now sell energy back to us at a massive premium. But the crazy thing is, I read the other day that EDF Energy are now thinking, well, hang on, instead of selling this extra energy that we have, right, to Germany or to the UK from our nuclear power stations, why don't we just mine Bitcoin with it? right? And now you're thinking, oh, okay, now this is getting really interesting, because now if your country doesn't have energy security, then any countries with excess energy might just mine Bitcoin instead of selling it to you. So now a country like the UK, if they want to buy energy, they're competing with Bitcoin miners as well. They have to be, has to be more profitable to sell the energy to you than it is to buy hash rate with it. So, you know, countries are going to trade in it. They're going to mine with it. The world is going to change in incredible ways that I'm sure even we can't fully picture, right?
Man, but yeah. It's the better product. It comes down to that. It really is the better product. You don't need somebody's permission to use it. No one else can stop you from transacting in it. You know, the concept of trustless and permissionless, it's not just fancy words. Like, these are a big, big deal, right? The fact that something like this exists. So this is why I said we've entered the official world of FU money, because that's exactly what this is. The US wants to weaponize the dollar. Keep it. I don't need your dollar. I have this, and you can't do anything about it. That is the message that, you know, Bitcoin sends to the world. And that's how nation states are going to adopt it. In my head, it's 100% done. There is no better play for any nation state other than something that they know they can always have access to, no matter what they do. Good, bad, and ugly, Bitcoin is for anyone.
Yeah. Well, Lizard Lagarde is going to fall over and break her hip if France starts mining Bitcoin with excess energy. And Rick, I think you can probably kiss your electricity goodbye if you're competing for French energy that's also capable of mining Bitcoin. Let's keep moving on, guys. All righty, we've got Lola Leitz. The broker rule is officially dead. No mandatory KYC for non-custodial services, at least from the IRS. Major win for privacy. So I went back and, you know, I can't keep track of all these rules because we don't KYC people and we don't really give much of a shit about what's going on in some of these worlds. But the IRS crypto broker rule finalized in 2024 required DeFi platforms to enforce KYC processes. And they basically said that's impossible because they don't act as intermediaries. I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I think you can still require, if you want to operate, you know, within our purview and our ability to censor you or to stop you or shut you down, they could still, you know, mandate that. But it sounds like the Trump campaign, or it says that the Trump campaign promised to support the crypto industry. And so sounds like he's making good on some of those promises. Tony, I think big win. I think a long ways to go. But what's your take on what's going on here?
This is great news. The witch hunt of the previous administration is officially dead, and Trump is, you know, following up on his promises by, you know, wanting to make America the number one Bitcoin and crypto, you know, next country of the world. And this is just part of the process. It's not necessarily that they could have KYC non-custodial wallets. Like, I mean, I don't see how they could have done it, especially the ones that are fully open source. The only way maybe that would have worked is to censor the gateways. Like, for example, preventing Apple from listing certain apps on their app store and Google and what have you. But a lot of these apps, you know, are open source. So even though it would take, you know, some additional manual steps to use them, you can't really fully KYC or stop them for someone who really wants to use them. So it would have probably hurt businesses like Apple and Google if enough people, you know, found the workarounds to that. They would eventually, you know, had pushback from these companies as well. But the fact that this craziness has been completely obliterated is very good news, because a lot of developers, you know, just left the US. I mean, Phoenix Wallet just came back recently. They didn't want to bother with it. Like, who wants to deal with a bully and a headache? Like, you know, and it sort of killed any excitement, any innovation in the US for anything crypto related. And now he's bringing all of that talent and innovation back, hopefully, in droves. So very, very good news. You know, hopefully that also trickles down to freeing the Samurai team, for example, that have been, you know, in my opinion, illegally prosecuted and sitting in jail for something they didn't do. So I hope, you know, this comes next, but time will tell. But it's definitely bullish and good news.
Yeah, Rick?
Yeah, same as Tony. I mean, it's interesting, right? I guess, do I think it's good news for Bitcoin? Well, in some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. Because as Tony pointed out, there was always ways to go around these sorts of restrictions, right? Like you can always go and get open source software. You know, maybe they would have stopped a few apps getting into the app store, but if you're determined enough and you want to badly enough, you'd have been able to find a wallet that was non-custodial and didn't KYC you. And there's very, very little that anyone, especially the IRS, could do to stop you, right? But I guess, you know, good news for Bitcoin in terms of it's going to give people a lot more choice. It's going to make their life a lot easier. And for people just new coming into it, it does mean that they're less likely to fall into the KYC traps. You know, there's so many services out there in Bitcoin that want to KYC you. It's like there's loads of potholes and traps that you can fall in. And once you fall into them, they're very, very hard to get back out. Once you give up your privacy, it's extremely difficult to get it back. So, you know, the more the market is filled with non-custodial, non-KYC options, the more likely it is that people make a good choice instead of being funneled to all these. God, there's so many people that want to KYC you. It's nauseating almost, right? But I guess probably, you know, you could argue it's really good news for America because, you know, trying to stifle innovation is never a good long-term bet, especially if people can get around your restrictions anyway. So if they're going to relax a bit, make life a little bit easier, you know, it's the land of the free. This is kind of what I would expect from a nation that's interested in freedom, is let developers build tools. So yeah, nothing but good news on that one.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add to that. Speaking of freedom, DOJ ends regulation by prosecution. So a new memo from the DOJ says devs of mixers and wallets aren't liable for user behavior. Get a big help, yeah, from me. Yeah, no kidding. Rick, why don't you you kick us off on this one?
Yeah, I'll give everyone a little bit of context in case they've not heard this yet, right? But basically, under the Biden administration, they were just using the Department of Justice to go around and play whack-a-mole with Bitcoin companies and try and crypto companies, Bitcoin companies, and they're just causing chaos and stifling innovation. And the point is, you know, they were trying to almost create regulation via prosecution, which is like a crazy way to do things. Like it's like saying to developers, well, we're not going to tell you the rules. There are no rules. There's no guidance. But if we suddenly decide later that we don't like what you've done, well, then we'll come and prosecute you to tell everyone else that they're not allowed to do it, which is like fundamentally like a crazy approach, completely unfair. You know, I'm no American, but it sounds pretty unconstitutional to me, right? So yeah, crazy from the Democrats to be doing that. And it caused a lot of problems. But I want to actually read you one specific part of this, if people haven't read it yet, which is the last couple of sentences. So the general thing is they're going to stop doing that. They're going to stop trying to create regulations by setting the Department of Justice loose on everybody. And they've said specifically, the department will no longer target virtual currency exchanges, and the interesting bit, mixing and tumbling services and offline wallets for the acts of their end users, unwitting violations of regulations. Now, I don't know about you guys, this is really exciting, right? That sentence maybe doesn't sound that exciting, but it really is because, as Tony mentioned, the developers of Samurai Wallet that created you know, this service that allowed you to mix your coins with other users to kind of give you back some of your forward privacy and people didn't know whose Bitcoin were whose. Well, they've been getting hammered by the Department of Justice. They've been under house arrest for like almost a year now. And what they've been trying to prosecute them with is money laundering. You know, saying, well, you're helping criminals hide their money and escape out the other side. But the crucial part of this case is that you can't really accuse the Samurai Wallet developers of being money launderers, because if you understand how their service works, it was completely non-custodial, which means the Samurai developers, they could never touch your money, they could never send your money, they could never censor your money. In fact, they had no control over your money. They just built a tool. So this is directly saying, like, listen, you know, mixing services, tumbling services, we're not going to hold the developers of these tools responsible if a criminal decides to use it to launder money, because that's not their fault. The best analogy I could give you is like, imagine someone comes to rob your house and they do it in a Ford Transit van and run off with your couch and your TV and your missus, right? You can't go to the Ford Motor Company and say, hey, listen, someone robbed my house with a Ford Transit van, I'm going to hold you responsible, which is the double standard they're holding the Samurai developers to. So, man, like, there's a lot of people on Twitter in the sort of cypherpunk community, you know, the darker corners of Bitcoin Twitter where the fun stuff happens, where people are just like over the moon about this. We don't know whether this will result in the Samurai devs being freed, but that sentence to me is pretty unambiguous. Like, surely they should be let off the hook. So, you know, we sit here and we hope that this is like a free Ross moment, and we're gonna get the great, I really hope, man, the next 3 or 4 months these guys are totally vindicated, and we all get back to mixing our coins and telling these losers at Chainalysis Company, by the way, who are a bunch of crooks who only rely on heuristics and assumptions, that actually we're taking our privacy back and we're not playing these games anymore. We will get our privacy back with Bitcoin. And you can probably tell I'm hyped up about this story. I'm really, really excited about it.
Yeah. Tony, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Very optimistic, man. I'll just add to the comment, you know, the comparison that you made earlier, Rick. You know, somebody who's been married long enough may not mind if somebody takes off with his missus, you know, just wanted to put that out there, right? He can keep her. But, you know, going after developers, you know, for writing code, you might as well just shut down the entire, you know, military complex. You know, like those who create the guns and kill the people. Well, then, you know, once you go after them as well, shut down the whole thing. It was complete bullshit. It's just a witch hunt, you know, and he's finally putting an end to all of it, thankfully. So me too, I'm very excited. This, you know, this brings back, you know, the enthusiasm and the energy around, you know, the whole space in such a full force right now. I think people are going to be even more exponentially invested in, you know, taking this to the next level now that it's like a open highway for innovation. So, you know, well done, Mr. Trump.
All righty. Up next, we have BlackRock. Oh, poor Brian Armstrong. He's probably not sleeping well at night. BlackRock's adding a new digital asset custodian. I can't remember the name of it. Anchorage Digital Bank. Sounds like a safe place to store your funds. So Coinbase will no longer be the exclusive provider. It'll be interesting to see if Coinbase is able to move the Bitcoin that they allegedly have over to this new custodian on behalf of BlackRock. But I wonder if maybe Larry Fink caught wind of Coinbase rehypothecating funds or selling them Bitcoin that they didn't have or something like that. Certainly, if it all stays within one house, you can get away with a lot of funny business. Tony, I don't even know what to ask you about this. I mean, this is just like a world that I just couldn't care less about. But I know we got to report on it and let people know what's going on.
I've been tweeting about this for a while, and I'm really happy there's more attention being shed on this, because I've always said I don't believe these guys at Coinbase have the Bitcoin. And this is not the first move that BlackRock makes, in this. At some point earlier, they forced them to allow withdrawals within a 12-hour period, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the first red flag, that even BlackRock was starting to doubt that Coinbase actually has the coins. So that started. Now they've actually removed portion of their holdings into a much smaller custodian. Why would you do that? I mean, they're marketing it as the diversification, risk diversification. But why would you even consider that if you knew that your investments were safe? It's because you don't believe they're safe. And that's very good news. Yeah. So I still believe Coinbase is issuing paper Bitcoin. And sadly, I've said it before, but I think one of the best things for the Bitcoin space, even though it's going to be horrific, you know, in the immediate short term, if it happens, was for Coinbase to completely collapse, if that's true, and they don't have the Bitcoin. It's going to be a complete nightmare, but it's going to cleanse the space from hopefully the last bit of garbage that is still playing these stupid games with people's money.
Yeah, I hear you on the, you know, diversifying where you store, like, you know, it makes sense, especially when you hold that amount of Bitcoin on behalf of clients. At the same time, I mean, what, for anyone listening, what you need to remember, though, is it doesn't it doesn't save you from any of the other things we talk about, right? Like if any of this is paper Bitcoin, you might not even have that Bitcoin. They might not even have that Bitcoin anyway, regardless of who the custodian is. We have no reason to believe that Anchorage Digital Bank wouldn't do this, play the same games as Coinbase. And at the end of the day, it's not your Bitcoin anyway, right? You just have you don't even have an IOU when you're in the ETFs. And I'm sure this makes business sense for BlackRock, but you're still just, you know, moving around IOUs on a ledger, and who gives a shit who owns it really at the end of the day? Because a lot of it's probably fake, and none of it's yours if you're a client.
Well, this would stop if they forced the proof of reserves.
Yeah.
Why don't they enforce that with any financial institution holding Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's the funny thing is, diversifying makes sense in a world where you couldn't enforce proof of reserves. The first step for me would be enforce proof of reserves. Yeah. At the same time, I wonder if Larry Fink doesn't care if price is suppressed for a long time, if it's going to be someone else's fault if things blow up and it's not BlackRock's fault. Like maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. Rick, what do you think?
I don't find it that surprising. I mean, you know, I wouldn't leave all my Bitcoin with someone who looks like Lex Luthor, the baddie from the Superman show. But I wouldn't leave my Bitcoin with this geezer either. I sometimes sit and I think, like, what must these meetings be like? You know, like if Larry Fink goes for a meeting with Brian, does he sit down and go, Brian, right, we're doing this Bitcoin thing, but talk to me more about Fartcoin. And talk to me more about, you know, what was it? Crypto dick butt NFTs that you're selling. Like, you know, what are these other products and services you're offering? It's frankly unbelievable that anybody would take someone like Brian Armstrong seriously. I mean, I'm not going to pull any punches with this guy. You know, like, look at the crap that he's selling, right? If Ethereum is the mother asshole of all shitcoins, as Safedean said, then Brian Armstrong is the bloody proctologist making sure that shit keeps flowing. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. So I got no time for Brian at Coinbase. I wouldn't trust him with my Bitcoin. Larry Fink seems smart enough to have also come to the same conclusion. And as far as I'm concerned, the guy is one of the biggest scammers in the space. I don't think you're a serious person at all if you run a business selling things like fart coins and dog coins and all these things, because I don't know much about Brian, but I'm sure he's been around long enough now that he knows that this stuff is absolute vaporware rubbish, right? But he keeps peddling it. He keeps making a profit off it. And man, that just crosses right across my moral line, right? Like, all right, it's good business. You're making a ton of money, but you're doing it at other people's expense, and you're no better. You're no better than Belfort was the Wolf of Wall Street guy, right? You know, there's a whole movie about him selling penny stocks and ripping people off. I mean, frustratingly, somehow the American sort of Hollywood of almost evangelized him as some sort of superhero now, like that was a good thing. But Brian's doing the same thing. He's just ripping people off. And I hope everyone takes their coins off Coinbase and he can be sat there with his fart coins and whatever, and hopefully a few court cases. And, you know, maybe there's room in the jail cell for him to get in there with SBF and P. Diddy, and they can get some lubricant and have a fun old Diddy party together. Because, you know, these people, they're not good. They're not good for Bitcoin. They're not good for you. Get your hat to Bitcoin away from Brian.
You should have the horn, Michael. This is like a horn moment now after Rick's rant.
Sorry, I got a bit carried away there. Yeah, it's Friday.
We should have, you know, one of those, you know.
I'm going to add sound effects to Bitcoin Banter moving forward.
Absolutely.
I'd be hitting the wrong button. Oh, man, it'd be like, wah, wah. All righty. So the good news is Coinbase obviously has everything figured out. This user said, go to buy Bitcoin for the first time. Try to withdraw to your own wallet. Get asked to send Bitcoin to Coinbase to verify you own the address. Buying Bitcoin for the first time, so you have no Bitcoin to send Coinbase. So can't withdraw? Hello, Coinbase. This is, I mean, like, the funny thing is, like, this is Coinbase is where most people go when they don't know anything else. Like, you know, if you're buying Bitcoin for the first time, it's probably likely you haven't heard of, you know, River and Bitcoin well. And like, you're kind of getting into the space and figuring things out. what a hilarious, like, I don't know if, I guess they think they're protecting you, but I can't imagine you can call up Coinbase and readily get customer support on and, you know, easily validate that it's your address since you've never moved coins there before or moved coins from that address. Crazy, crazy stuff. You guys are welcome to continue just ragging on Brian Armstrong.
Based on that moronic tweet, I predict the collapse of Coinbase much sooner than that most people think. If you've got your funds there, run. You know, because I don't know who they're hiring to make these brilliant decisions, but it's definitely, you know, the red flags are all over this.
Yeah. Brian Armstrong, he gets no sympathy from me for all the reasons you outlined, but also I remember reading The Block Size Wars, the book, you know, about the block size war, and he was mentioned several times in the book. He's been around a long time. He was a part of that philosophical debate. I think he was a big blocker. I don't really remember. So like the fact that he has been around long enough to have an opinion on such a controversial Bitcoin topic and then to be selling Fartcoin and all of the nonsense he's selling, it's like, it's inexcusable, you know? So, you know, they need to get their act together and make sure that if people are going to actually come there and buy a real useful form of money like Bitcoin, you're able to do it. Like this is insanity. Sorry, Rick, go on.
I was just going to say, I think I know what's going on here a little bit, right? Because when you first look at this, it looks just like really, really retarded, right? Like, what do you mean you can't withdraw the Bitcoin if you haven't proved that address? Because it's this first time, you can't do it, right? Listen, Coinbase, as much as I dislike them, right? They're a huge business and they'll have tons of developers. And trust me, those developers will be good enough to realize that that logical process doesn't work or make sense. So the real question is, well, why are they doing it? And I think the answer to that question is, I don't know if anyone, well, I know you guys do, but you know ZackXBT, right? He goes and tracks all these crypto hacks and scams. Well, he's been tweeting about this, right? The reason it's so damn difficult to get your Bitcoin off of Coinbase now is because so many Coinbase customers are getting scammed because people are calling them, pretending to be customer support. And like money is just getting ripped off of that exchange in scams, like people getting their account strained. The Coinbase have almost gone like, you know, scorched earth, like make it almost impossible to get your coins off because too many people are getting ripped off. It looks like stupidity, but I actually think they're trying to like contain this spire of, you know, we've got some serious security problems over here.
Yeah.
Well, even if you're right, it's not the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you can't rely on Coinbase to do things the right way, Tony. So maybe you're a little hopeful. All right, guys. Last bit of news. This is near and dear to my heart. Corey Clipston, how long till Ripple flippin's ETH? I am chomping at the bit here. Can't wait for my XRP stack to go to the moon. What do you guys think? Is it going to happen?
I have no comment on this, man. I don't comment on your XRP stack beyond making fun of it. It's not yours.
Yeah, what's the question? Who's flipping who now? XRP's flipping ETH or something?
Yeah. It's look at this. This is it's making moves. The XRP ETH chart here. It's we've seen a lot of green candles since October. Yeah, maybe late October of 2024.
Man, it's mind-boggling that people actually believe this thing has value. It's like it blows my mind.
The funny thing is, I want to know who. So I would be surprised if Corey was the one pulling this chart. But like someone actually went and said, I want to see the XRP ETH chart. And they thought that they were going to learn something valuable. And like that's 5 minutes that they will never have back in their life. That's maybe my takeaway. For everyone listening, I don't actually own XRP. Actually, no, I think I have $12 still from my shitcoin days. On Coinbase, by the way. I probably can't withdraw it. I don't have the hardware to withdraw it anyway, I guess. So I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Oh man, I can't get excited about this because as you know, I just went full port into Trump and Melania coin, right? Because I love winning and this guy promised me I'd be winning. So I'm hoping that Trump flips all of them, including Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin's a dinosaur coin now, right? It doesn't scale. You can't send payments. You couldn't possibly run a business like the Bitcoin way on top of Bitcoin. How would it How would it work? We don't even exist, right? So for me, it's Trump coin or nothing. I'm all in.
Well said. Well, the one use case that we found for Bitcoin, you can't buy your coffee with it. You can't, you know, but you can buy oil from Russia, it sounds like. So if you're ever short on oil, it seems there's a use case there. All righty, guys, I think that's a good place to wrap up. And for everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. As always, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. We can help you do Bitcoin self-custody the right way. Get it off of Coinbase especially, but any exchange, doesn't matter. It's not freedom money if you don't hold the keys alone, solely, no one else, no counterparty risk. Do it the right way. We also help with online privacy, setting up privacy phones. We have a Plan B residency option, everything you need for your self-sovereignty needs. And of course, if you're enjoying the show, do us a favor, subscribe to the channel, give us a like, comment, share it with someone. We'd really appreciate you helping us feed the algorithm. And gents, I think this was a fun one. Looking forward to catching up again here in a few days.
Amen to that, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Cheers, Michael. Guys.